Good morning. This is channeling Emmalyn, organic process created by me, for me, Emmalyn, in a way of aligning with my highest expression of who I am. I started the podcast for accountability, and I just keep doing it because it works. I'm hoping, or my intention is to do my inner work, but that if I put it out into the world, that I'll inspire others to do their own, because you don't always see the benefits of doing your inner work at the moment. It's difficult. You struggle, but over time, you become more free from the narratives of the external. You're able to live in an expression of play and creation, right? Rather than following, right? And just copying or limitations. So what I do is I go through what my process is, and then I get in and do my process. That's all I do each day. I don't always know what's going to come up. I'm not always struggling with something in my life, but whatever it is, it does address it, or the being in the space addresses it. It's kind of like journaling verbally instead of written wise. If I was writing and journaling, I could have conversations back and forth with myself as I'm writing. But this just allows me to do it in a much more free way. Plus, I process externally. So that's what's happening in my mind. When I speak it out, I can follow the visuals, and it makes more sense. Imagination, visualization, and creativity is how I do my work. It's just who I am. Imagination is where I go. So if you wonder, how do all the new things in the world exist? How does something come into being? That's imagination. That's where you go. That's where everything you ever could absolutely want to know exists. You bring it forth through your imagination. It's the space. It's where artists go, I say, because you can't create art unless you go into the space of imagination. But that's where it exists. Then visualization is how I get the information. My brain does show pictures all the time. I'm not like watching 2D pictures in a museum or anything. I'm immersed in an immersive space, a lot like the metaverse. I'm walking through scenes. They fade in and out of existence. I'm a 3D body. Sometimes I'm something else. I'm not me. A lot of times I'm in the watcher perspective. So I am watching me, right? And a lot of symbolism, a lot of metaphors, a lot of storytelling, a lot of redirect. But that's the creativity that I have, is how I communicate it out. So the symbolisms just come, right? And then I need to make sense out of them so that they're effective. I mean, cool, I'm having an experience. That could be something. But I'm having an experience so that I can align and be more of me. And so my creativity is how I guess, manifest the visions into reality. I'm making meaning. And when I make meaning, boom, that becomes my new reality. Plus, creativity is how I share it out to the world so that other people can get. And again, like my sister told me yesterday, she tries to follow, but she's not always followable. So don't feel bad if you ever take a listen of this and you're like, what in the CM heel is she doing? I don't know. It's just discovery. So if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. I don't expect my process to work for everybody, but I do expect that everybody can find their own process. Anything. Just see you. Meet you. And I know that people go to therapy to meet themselves, and that's fine. If you need a guide, there's a guide. But you have a guide within you as well that can help you out. I'll put limits on that based on whatever humans believe is their limitation is going to be one, right? The mental health industry has a limitation. The government has a limitation. The medical profession has a limitation. Us ourselves have a limitation of what's possible. Oh, my body hurts so much right now. My shoulders. Allie and I started this boot camp program. And let me tell you, when you start something new, it is not pleasant. Oh, it's just like, I don't know, my body's rusty or something. It's like now stiff and bruised and acid inside of it. And it's like we don't move in those ways. But I want to be able to survive a very long time. I want to be able to live this life a long time. And what motivates me to work out is strong, because I've always been a strong human. But I've lost some of my strength. Obviously, I'm not powerlifting anymore. And I won't go back to that. I do have some damage just because of the weight of the bar and stuff. But I want to be able to be strong. And TBH, I kind of want to be able to run away from danger. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, shoot, if I'm ever chased, I'm probably going to turn around and sit down and be like, you win, because I'd run out of air. I just can't run very far, very fast. I don't know how far or fast I need to run, but I do need to be able to at least sprint out of the way, right? Sprint and hide or something. If I fight, it's very dangerous for me. I don't know if it's military training or just in my mind's eye, but I do not get in fights in the world at all. But if I'm in danger and somebody attacks me in some way, I may have to. But like my mind doesn't go to get away once I'm in a fight. It's all it's demolish the threat, right? So I do not fight. I am not a violent person at all because I'm afraid of my mind. Where it goes when violence is involved, right? In my mind, if violence comes up, it's not like, why am I talking about this? I have, see, the brain goes all different ways, and this is a process to help control the brain. I'm thinking about how my brain handles violence. Well, I guess it's good to know. Yeah, because I think that I would fly if I or people I loved were threatened, not by ego, right? In the US, a lot of the threats are ego, but sometimes there are real ones. And I want to be able to live a long time. And I don't know why I was thinking about that recently. Oh, because I want to live a long time, I've been thinking about all the things that prevent me from doing so. And one of them is safety, physical safety from others, right? I need to keep my body alive. And then second is I need to be able to run away from anything or lift things or use my body. It needs to be strong. It can't be broken down. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just in the moment of feeling the pain of my body. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Oh, because of this. All right, let's get back to the process, Emily. Woohoo! This happens. All right, let me take a breath. 478 breathing is the I guess the most of the ritual that I really use. Well, all of it's a ritual because it's repetition to get me into a state. But I use 478 breathing because it slows down my physiology, but it also slows down my brain. So right now, I do this right when I wake up. So this is the way my brain functions, right on turning on, right? It's all over the place. I can feel it. It's like pop over here, pop over here. There's an idea here. There is no coherent processing. So I'm going to take a breath in for a count of four, hold it for a count of seven, breathe out for a count of eight. I think it's really just clearing, exhaling out the air so that you can bring in more oxygen, right? So you have to fully exhale. I actually exhale at the beginning and then start my breath. And then it slows me down both physically and mentally. My brain will go woosah, just in this really quiet state. So I'm going to do that and then I'll explain the process, because otherwise we might be talking, I don't know, Teletubby babies or something. Great, now I got them in my head. But anything can pop up. So if I do it this way and just center with my breath, it's much more productive. I used to do it at the beginning of meetings. I was learning, right? And I actually had people that said, Emmeline, can you not take your breaths at the beginning of the meeting? Like they wanted me to do it beforehand so they could just get in and get started, obviously. But it's not that intrusive to take three breaths. Here we go. My chest is so tight. One more. Okay. Oh, that's so nice. It was so nice to breathe. All right. Now I have no thoughts. Like, okay, now what? Okay. Deep breaths. Good. Okay. Right. So, imagination, visualization, creativity. I use in the ritual first taking my breaths and then my visualization. I see myself sitting in a tree. Each of these symbols within this visualization help me get into the space of imagination. So the first one is the grounding. Because I'm in a tree, the roots of the tree go deep beneath my butt into the ground. They're holding me on to this earthly human experience. Imagination is like a cosmic experience for me. It's definitely space. It's definitely not grounded. It's floaty. It's out there for eons I could be, right? So when I go to that space, I ground myself in this space first. That way I can come back. I'm not explaining this, but other humans, other humans don't always understand every experience, and I'm having a human experience. So by grounding into that, it will make me more relatable to others. You know what I mean? I'm like, my intention is not to just be cosmic. It is also to be an impact in the human world. So that's why I have that grounding. It's just like I'm having a dual experience and I want to come back to the physical after I get the consciousness experience. And the other thing I see is in the treetops, I have unconditional love. So unconditional love or unconditional positive regard, however you want to say it, love sometimes triggers people because it's at the essence of the human struggle, right? We try to love ourselves so that we can love others. We try to love our brothers. We love ourselves. It is the human struggle is to learn to love. So unconditional positive regard can help because it's basically saying, how do I love you? Oh, I'm going to be positive towards you at all times. I'm going to get to towards our oneness. That which we connect on is what I'm going to focus on, and that will bring your human experience up. You cannot get to imagination without unconditional love because when you're in division, it's this or that. There's an othering that happens when you separate yourself from the other person. Now you cannot be one, right? Imagination is in the oneness of things. They just pop into existence. And then if you're in separation, you will deny the existence. You'll say, no, not that, not that. So my ego, which is all of Amelin's programming, right? All my thoughts, my beliefs, my emotions, my moods, my actions, my habits, my results, my character, all of that is my programming that gets me through my days. In this process that I'm doing, my channeling of Amelin, right? I want to get my programming out of the way because I'm actually going to be changing it. I'm bringing in new information. I'm becoming aware of new situations. So there's a fluidity to that state. So I need to bring my ego out of the process. Now, what I do is I have a plate that has a candle on it, and that represents my programming. I bring it back through my body over to the right, set it on a wall, a low wall. And that's just to remember. I am grounding into this human experience, and I'm accessing these different consciousness with unconditional love. It exists in the oneness, right? But in order for me to receive that, my programming can't go in and label it this or that because that has destroyed the receiving, the download, because I'm now creating and trying to manipulate. So there's a very fine dance that's learned between allowing the imagination, and that is these other tools of faith and surrender. I have a dirt road that goes to a cliff, and the dirt road is my symbol of faith. The only way this works is if you have faith in the unfolding of it. when I'm in resistance, it's just more effort required to snap into that place in alignment. But faith is kind of letting go of all the concerns. What about this? What about that? That may be true. I got to act in fear, right? I may not be protected. Da 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 da. All these what ifs, all these fears, all these things pop up. And the only thing that's going to have me move forward through them is faith. I know what I'm doing now is in the highest good of Emma Lynn and the others involved. Because I always have the intention, anything I do in this lifetime benefits me and anybody around me, that I'm a vessel that has impact, right? So the faith keeps me walking. Surrender is letting go of anything that's not in alignment with me. And I don't always let go as quickly as I hold on to grab new things. The letting go is slower. Surrender is like a little death, right? We have to give up something that we had in our old programming that allows the new programming to come in. We have to surrender our control over the process. This is an unfolding. It is not me manipulating or creating this. It's a collaboration. It is not human-dictated effort, if that makes sense. So faith and surrender are what I need to do the work. The other thing that I see is a white light that goes through my body as far up as I can see and down below deep. And it's a white light that represents balance. So I, Emma Lynn, have an expression that can be quite adventurous, that can go into the extremes. But the best expression, the most fluid, flowing, peaceful, serene, joyous, pleasant, effective, is in balance. Not this or that extreme, this and that in the balance. And that just reminds me, this is a process of alignment. It is when I'm in alignment that I am the most magnificent. And so the work of getting into an alignment is the fundamental part of my human expression. Okay, so those are all the parts. And then I just, again, I go up and I have this space between my eyebrows that I look. It's almost like either a black or a white boxed room, kind of like in the Matrix. It's empty. And I go there and I look, and then all of a sudden the movie comes alive. And then as I'm walking through it, it makes sense to me. I understand this is imagination. I am not watching something created by another. Everything that I see in my mind's eye is created, collaborated, delivered by my imagination. Okay. All right, here we go. I'm a little stuffy today too. Oh, my shoulders hurt so bad. It's like somebody beat me up. You know, that muscle that you never moved. I have, like, in my shoulder, one muscle that's, like, so bruised. Ugh. The games we play with ourselves, Emma Lynn. The games we play with ourselves. Okay, here we go. 4, 7, 8 breathing, and I'm just going to go. Ooh, head rush. Roots deep into the earth. Unconditional love, positive regard, face surrender, alignment, remove my ego. Okay, so what's in our highest good to know today? What's in our highest good? And then I just look, whatever comes up is in our highest good. I see a bush. It's a green bush. I think it's the bushes that are shaped into animals and, I don't know, one's made out of a guitar. So they're bushes, maybe ornamental, that are cut in a way that displays an image. Aww, I'm cutting away the display images. I just saw that and it was like, you. And I'm like, me? Yes, you. It's like you are a tree that gets to display images. It's like, shoot, what was it called? Edward Scissorhands, how he chops all those trees into shapes and stuff. Well, that's kind of the image I get of me. It's like, oh, well, your job is to go manicure things into messages so that everybody else can enjoy them. Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. Okay, seeing this unmanicured bush is actually kind of exciting because I know the potential it has, right? So I'm like, oh, that's me. It looks so ordinary, but it's Edward Scissorhands, extraordinary talent hidden in an oddball package. Okay. It really does resonate. Okay, fine. Right. It's funny. Sorry. Okay. Oh, take a breath. Okay, I will. Hold on. Okay, hold up. Right, what's in our highest good to know? All right. Yay, I'm a bush. Now they're going into the bush. And I'm watching this caterpillar. It's like a green, juicy one. I don't know why juicy comes up, but it's a juicy, plumpy caterpillar. And it's walking on this the inside branches of this bush. It feels like I know it, right? So I'm like, oh, like a, oh, an earworm or a Jiminy Cricket or it's like an influence within you. It's like a bug that it's small being. I don't know what it's trying to. Okay, hold on. Okay, so in this bush, I'm just going to explain it as I see it because I'm trying to make meaning and I keep having to remove my ego because it's using my meaning making from yesterday and that is not accurate. So, okay, caterpillar on a tree in the branch of this bush. On the it's towards the inside, it's at the center. I see it. It's wisdom. This is something of wisdom that's added to each thing, like Jiminy Cricket, like this caterpillar, I don't have other ones, but there's ways that you have a presence that stays with you. So there's a presence that stays with me, like a what? Like an inchworm? Like a caterpillar? Make no sense. Okay, hold on. Okay, this is definitely a cartoon, so it's coming up cartoon, so not like reality. So a part of me is like, is this a metaphor, or do I got a bug inside of me? Okay, I'll remove my ego. Okay. Sorry, the caterpillar is like one of those happy ones. It's like a big old face on it. All right, Emmeline, and then there's a message here. Let's round. Grounded. Okay, what's in our highest good to know today? Tell, I get the bug. I get the bug. I see the bug. Some wisdom that's inside a partnership. Now it feels like that's my left side. Like there's something, like when it said partnership, I felt this cave cut out of my left side. I don't know what that means. Like it goes directly down my head, down the middle of my head, down my sternum to like about halfway through my chest. I don't know, like right where my underarm meets, it goes across to my arm and then up again. So that portion, it's like all of my head and then my neck and the top part of my shoulders to my underarm. That is highlighted on me in this image. And it's something about wisdom. It's where the caterpillar lives. It's where the Jiminy Cricket lives. It's I don't know what that means. It's the guide. Is it my intellect? It uses my intellect. Okay, so I'm seeing a picture that's like a piece of paper, like old college ruled news school paper, and I'm writing on this old school desk. This is like when I was in college in the like 90s or 2000s. It's old school desk, piece of paper, college ruled ink paper, I mean ink, a blue ink, and I'm writing, and I'm listening to the earworm or the Jiminy Cricket that's on my left hand side, and I'm writing down what it whispers to me. Like it's what this reminds me? There's some kind of movie. Okay, I'm coming in. Yes, but I need to make sense of it. Okay, so I'm gonna amble in for a while because I'm like, what the fudge? Okay, so there is a bug like this that I've seen somewhere in some kind of movie where it's a being. It's not a, just a slug bug. It has a sentient mind and intelligence, and it's sitting in a machine and it's driving a machine. Like the bug is the brain of the machine. It's the executor, but it's just going through this machine. And there's something of that kind of pattern that's being shared, but I don't know what it is. I'm like, my left body, my left side of my mind. Oh, the left mind is where the executor sits. What? Okay, so now, all right, I guess that image of the movie with that little bug sitting in the control thing of this robot, so it's moving the rope, the robot looks huge, right? And it's this itty bitty little bug, but it's saying like this Jiminy Cricket, or maybe it's the consciousness seat. Sits on the left side and uses those controls of my intellect to control it. The imagination, logic and imagination, how they go together. My imagination is driving my logic like a bug in a machine. What? Okay, hold on. Right, ego removed. All right, what's in our highest good? Like, I need more. This is like a little sci-fi-y. Egg. Okay, I'm looking at an egg. I'm looking at an egg that has a flame behind it because I'm looking into the egg and there's something in the middle of the egg. I could see it, but I could see through the egg. So, like, I could see the future before it comes. Yes. So I could see it before it manifests, right? So I could see into the egg before the egg cracks open. I know what's inside, but it's because there's a light behind it. This candle is what it's illuminating to. What's the candle? That's the consciousness of what? That I'm interpreting as what? Through my intellect. Okay, so that's imagination. Okay, hold on. I feel like I'm a little kid looking at a coloring book and somebody's coloring it and telling me a story, and I keep going, huh? Like I'm following along. I'm watching it. I'm here with you, but I'm going, I don't know this. But it's not like a mean thing. It's like okay, so it gives me the image of like kids playing in a fort, right? And so they're playing in a fort and they want to play something and it's fanatical. Oh, okay. So I just watched Jumanji. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So it's bringing the Jumanji game, right, into play. The only way that the Jumanji game even unfolded as a human experience for these individuals is because they went along with the game, right? They believed it, they allowed it in. And so the only reason this is happening for me is because I'm going along with the game. I'm allowing it to happen. It's the same thing. We're going on a journey and willing to work with fanatical possibilities. I don't know what fanatical means, but that's the word that keeps coming in my brain and it doesn't create a meaning. But it's about so it's like I'm willing to have a Jumanji human experience. And so and then the little bug consciousness, whatever, says, "That's me." It's okay. So the reason why it's so funny is like you have to imagine. Okay, first Edward Scissorhands, right? Imagine all of that energy from that movie. It impacts me. Like I feel it, right? The joy of expression, the fear of judgment, the weirdness of people accepting. There's all this kind of like energy in that movie, right? The energy is with me. And then I see this little fat, like weird, like caterpillar, juicy. It's a juicy fat caterpillar and it's in this energy. Okay. And that juicy fat caterpillar is the wisdom that guides me. So it's like the one in my brain trying to move me, and I'm working in collaboration to make it exist in the physical world. Such a weird imagery. Okay, I could take that. I'll just accept it because I get the whole Jumanji reference they're telling me is that I'm able to play in other realms because I want to play in other realms. I'm an adventurous spirit. I'm somebody that they show me, but I'm like, there's what is it, Tiny Toons? Tiny Toons cartoon, and there's this girl named Elvira, and I'm kind of a little bit of an Elvira too. I'm gonna do what I wanna do, and I'm gonna do this. And people are like, if they tell me no, I don't care. I don't, there's nothing in my being that's not gonna play this game. Oh, well, yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't quite understand the worm thing, but I get it. Okay. Yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't know how to explain it. There's an energy from the outside that comes in and says, well, is that okay? Well, is that okay? Like, trying to validate it. Is it okay to have these fanatical experiences? And then there's this Amalyn part that says, well, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if it's okay. I'm gonna do it. Why am I gonna do it? Because it's fun. It's exciting. It's cute. It's energetic. There's a lot of joy here. I don't know why anything would prevent me from doing it. Other than the lack of approval or validation from others. And I don't care about that. Yeah. Okay, good. So what is this about? Sorry. I'll get my ego out of the way. Okay. All right. I know. I'm like playful today, but I'm also not quite there because they're saying like I don't know, my energy is behind my body, if that makes sense. Oh, okay. Center. It's funny though. I'm trying to apologize for being so giggly. Okay, hold on. Right, deep into the earth. Okay. Unconditional positive regard, faith, surrender, alignment, remove the ego. Okay, I'm here. All right, what's in our highest good to know? I'm good with playing with the caterpillar. I'm okay with wisdom coming through weird ways. I don't care if, what other people think. Oh, and this is why it is. And this is what it is. Okay, so I get that because a lot of times I'm trying to, I see my students, right? And I'm trying to help them live from the inside out. And there's something on the inside that's guiding them. This is just, I guess, storytelling. It's a really cute story, but like it makes me happy to like with the caterpillar and all that stuff. But I do see the energy of it. How about that? The energy of it. is I have my students right in front of me, and I'm trying to tell them a story, kind of like telling the story of Edward Scissorhands, or telling the story of Jiminy Cricket, or telling the story of I don't know why they're giving me Rapunzel. Twisted. I don't know. There's where? I don't know. They're the woman with the long blonde hair. Why is she? Why am I telling the story about her? That's all. Oh, because of the determinism of freeing oneself of the expressed life that she lived. Okay, yes. I get the energy. So this is the energy I'm trying to offer up as a game to the future generation, right? So I'm trying to present them with the possibility of playing the game of their life from the inside out, rather than a fear of how do I fit into the outside world, an expression from the inside out. And for me to be able to do that, I must have it. Oh, well, of course I have it. I don't question that. I don't question that I'm the right person for the role. Oh, I said that, but inside I was like, Okay, do I question that I'm the right person for the role? I don't see that anybody else could do what I do unless they were built in the way that I was built. So, okay, so I do see that I am appropriately placed for this journey. The being that I am, the skills that I have, the expression that I am, all of these kind of things line up. This is what's right for me. When I said, am I'm the right person for this, the fear or the limitation or the doubt is in the skill set to employ that which comes through. Oh, because this is a process I've struggled with. Yes, because I want to go rogue. Why? Because I don't trust. Why? Because I have only been able to rely on myself, self being programming, self not being receiving. So because I have this wisdom inside, okay, I'm like I'm Pinocchio donkeys too. What the hell? All these pictures. I have this wisdom within, but I also have the donkeys from Pinocchio. I don't know, but they're like mischievous boys that are distracted by pleasure. So, well, yeah. Oh, is that my concern? It's okay. So there's a thing in my brain that says, if this, not that, right? So if I'm going to be this caterpillar driving a human, then the hedonism, I guess, is a distraction. But I'm not a hedonist anymore. Well, yeah. Okay, never mind. Right. All it is pleasure, okay? There is a pleasure that distracts from the work. And it does look like work because it's like I'm a blacksmith, or yes, or I'm a glass blower. I don't know why all of these professions are from like the 1800s and huts with hay and animals and farmers and but there's a skill set, right? And I have a skill set. What I do not have is the patience for the unfolding and then the commitment beyond the distraction. So I want to do it. I see that I can do it, but I don't know if there's a benefit beyond the pleasure. Oh, okay. So I found the pleasure in other ways. I'm being called to do this, and I have a feeling that something I'm going to lose. I don't care. What could possibly be more pleasurable than the metaverse space? I can't even identify it right now, but it definitely is a distraction trigger for me. Okay, so I don't know. I guess I don't look at it as that as a bad. I look at it as a why. In this space of clarity, I can see the metaverse stuff I'm supposed to do and all of that, and it's like, well, of course, yeah. And there's joy there, right? It's humorous, it's fun, it's exciting, it's difficult, it's oh, okay. All these other things that come in, and then my brain goes over here on the right where all the play is. It's play in the moment, not in the direction. Oh, so But this doesn't seem bad because I'm seeing like my nephew, he's like at the park and he's playing at the park, and that's okay, the childlike play. Childlike play. Maybe I'm trying to reconcile the two lifestyles. How do I live a life of complete dedication to this cause and still not give up my pleasure experiences? Well, I do see pleasure on the metaverse side, though. I'm not seeing it as this horrible condemnation or an obligation that I don't want to do. This is good, but this I don't want to let go of either. Like it's so funny that they're the donkeys because they're like innocent kids. They're just mischievous. Oh, it's just the rebellion. It's not the hedonism. It's just the rebellion. They're defiant. And when they're defiant, they justify it by their pleasure. Oh. Maybe it's a risk because it feels like it's a pull between the two. But I am much more leaning, like my attention is on the left more. With the metaverse goals and the caterpillar and all that stuff. But on the right, it is definitely in existence. Okay, so is this just an awareness to have between the two? It's the faith and surrender is on the side of the mischievous donkeys, right? It's almost like, I know this sounds weird because I don't quite get this. It's almost like I have fun defiantly. Like I force fun. What does that mean? I force what's expected to be fun. Why? Because I don't want to be tied down. Okay. I force what's fun so I'm not tied down. What does that mean? Oh, great. Now they have, like, I'm tied. I'm like on a board, and there's, I don't know, cuffs, metal cuffs, and I'm screwed to this or like bolted to this table or this board, and I'm like arms out, legs out, and I'm tied. Okay. Like captured, but it's like metal cuffs on my. Okay. What's the significance of this? How do I feel? I can't move, but I don't have an intention of where I'm going right now. I'm just having this experience. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I gotta go, I gotta go. Oh, because I'm in the present moment. The present moment feels like a shackle to me. And when I get too shackled or I feel too shackled, I go off into my woo-woo land and imagination, but I go too far. Too far is in what? Too far is in I'm seeing things that are a distraction. Okay, so it's almost like I get this. I'm looking, so I do this in my research. Sometimes I'm researching about one thing and I go down a rabbit hole and I start researching way too much about like corona mass ejections and stuff. Because I see the auroras all the time in my visions. They're just showing me how I've like lost like 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, and it's just like I don't know. There's a journey that I want to go on, but it's because I want to get out of the present. Oh, this is my pattern. I do research and discover to get out of discomfort. When I'm in discomfort, I will go to research. Yes, is that good, bad? Indifferent? Oh, it's just to notice the pattern. Okay. It's like the external research isn't of value to me, but I learn things and then I can use those things. A bloated dictionary. Okay. I guess this is the essence of when I'm being advised from within of what to do, I get uncomfortable and I go to research because research brings me the external joy, Right? It's like, yeah, I see this. Okay. I guess it's kind of like my process of the unfolding, right? So I have this side where I have my little Jiminy Cricket advising me, and I'm in cahoots with it, right? So I'm participating, and then over here I completely disconnect. I'm in defiant, and then I am like the donkeys. I'm triggered by it's frivolous joy, frivolous a distraction, and it's like rabbit holing. It's whenever I go into a rabbit hole is how I escape this unfolding of the now. What does that mean? Oh, because I don't have faith, and therefore I go to find somebody else that can validate it on the external world. And that's a distraction. So what do I just have faith? Blind faith? How do I express it? The paper writing down. Okay, so it is a narration. It's like as it comes, I write it down, but sometimes I'll stop. Yes, okay, so they're showing me like writing down on the paper, right? And what I'm writing is coming to me. I'm not like copying, I'm not researching. I'm just it's almost like enter like auto writing, almost like I'm entering into my brain and I'm writing it down. But then when it stops, like my pencil stops, there's a part of me that says, now what? And I go and try to research, right? And then now I'm copying on the second half of this with research. And I can get into that way too long. It doesn't say it's bad so much. Like I don't feel like a resistance, like, ew, don't do that. It's more of a here is where your rabbit hole, or here is where your donkey play. Okay, I'm out. So then I pop out and I'm like, am I being reprimanded? Is this why does this feel like I'm being scolded a bit? Like, hey, you're doing this, but this is like it doesn't come up as a no-no, but this is a not effectual thing that you do. This is like you're going so well. And then it's like, I don't know. As soon as I say, I don't know, in the receiving, I start the researching, and then I go off on a tangent. And that tangent takes forever for me to come back from. Oh. Oh. I do this with everything, the metaverse, with my AI stuff, with the curriculum, shoot, even with working out or buying a car. I don't know if I like that pattern. I don't know. It's not, I guess, not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just weird. Part of me is like, well, do I not research? I research all the time. You have to know, like, that my pleasure is in knowledge acquisition. That's how I do my future predictions, right? Is patterns. That's how I like all the things that I need are in knowledge. So I guess I can see how that's a slippery slope, is when I start relying on that more than I am on the narration that I'm supposed to do. Because I do understand this comes to me. The metaverse of Zircon does not exist anywhere on this planet, anywhere in the past. And in order to create it, I must receive it. And then once I receive it, I try to make aniline sense out of it. And I'm sure that's how I start, getting off path. Because I don't know how I do this. I just know it's done. And I know that I'm a part of it. And I know that my role is to help the teens and young adults get in there. Because once they get in there, I'm not even worried about it. That's them. They got it. 1000% faith in Gen Alpha. It's the Gen Alphas that are there. All right. I'll keep moving forward. Maybe I should just spend some time. The blocks thing that I'm doing in August, they give you like 40 hours of curriculum you have to go through. And I started thinking about doing that today. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. I'll just do it. I'll just be in the present moment and I'll just do it. Is that what the message is? I'll just do it. Not every time you do your inner work is it going to be the most amazing message. But this time, maybe I just need to be aware of my pattern. All right. Until next time.